There are two texts. The first is from St. John's Revelation, chapter 5. By thy blood thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And the second is from 1 Peter, chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Those are the texts. Those of you lucky enough to have read the fairy tale, The Princess and the Pea, during your childhood, may recall the plot. A prince in search of a princess to marry. A real princess, and not just any princess. A princess who had both beauty and wisdom. But this combination was nowhere to be found. One night, during a bad storm, there was a knock at the castle door. It was a girl seeking shelter. Despite her bedraggled appearance, she claimed to be a princess. After she had tidied up a bit, the prince noticed that at last he had found the desired combination of beauty and wisdom. But before he popped the question, he wanted to be sure that she was a real princess, and not just any princess. You remember the test his mother devised, piling 20 mattresses and 20 quilts on top of a bed, and then inserting a small dried pea on the slats underneath the mattresses and quilts, claiming that if the girl were a real princess and not just any princess, she would feel the bump caused by the pea underneath all this covering. And sure enough, she did. So sensitive was she to the discomfort caused by the small dried pea under the 20 mattresses and 20 quilts that she spent a sleepless night. How happy the prince was. Her royalty was established beyond the shadow of a doubt. She was a real princess, and not just any princess. Naturally, he married her, and naturally, they lived happily ever after. You and I, friends, are of royal blood. Our royalty, in fact, is a commonplace of the Bible. Any one of its allusions to this status could serve as our text this morning. Obviously, my sermon is a topical sermon. You heard Peter calling us a royal priesthood. You heard John claiming that Christ's blood has made us unto our God kings, kings and priests. Who shall what? Who shall reign on the earth? And how we were made kings and priests unto God is a central message of the Scriptures. Through the incredible love of God's Son, Himself a Prince, taking upon Himself our sins, our death, our damnation, and then rising again to make all of this rock solid. The result? We are now royalty. We are class. And since this mostly masculine audience is accustomed to the Bible calling us the bride of Christ, I'm sure you won't mind my asserting that each of us here, if you please, is a princess. But as you heard from the lectern this morning, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, wants to be sure, absolutely sure, not as a condition for our acceptance into his palatial quarters, no, but as evidence of the success of his saving and sanctifying goals for us. How can Jesus know that each of us is a real princess and not just any princess? Appearances can be deceiving, you know. Well, there is a test, a sensitivity test, so to speak. Will we feel the small dried pea through the thickness of 20 mattresses and 20 quilts? Can we respond to the ills of people? Despite the insulation of custom, culture, tradition, orthodoxy, prejudice, material well-being, physical health, intellectual gifts, personal charm, the security of life on a seminary campus, and whatever other mattresses and quilts you can think of. Will human discomfort, human need rather, cause us discomfort? Will we care? Are we concerned? Are we compassionate? This is the proof of our royalty. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Is the way the Bible describes this sensitivity test negatively. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another, is the way the Bible says it positively. And may I push the point of comparison? It was a small, dried pea, mind you, that the princess felt through all those mattresses and quilts. It's the little things also that you and I must be sensitive to, the peas, and not just the lumps in the mattress or the bumps in the spring. It's so easy to feel passion for the jungles and the ghettos. But what about the deprived or depraved brother next door? It's so easy to respond to social problems, but to neglect individual needs. It's so easy to trumpet issues, but to ignore people. That has been the perennial paradox of youthful generations ever since the 1960s. On the one hand, your commendable concern for causes. On the other hand, your puzzling irresponsibility toward the brother at hand. Do we care enough to help the classmate in academic difficulty? Will we listen to a fellow student's faith doubts? Will we give an ear to his courtship or marital difficulties? Are we sensitive to his chapel negligence, his cheating, his immorality, his excessive drinking, his dirt and his filth, his disobedience to constituted authority? Do his hang-ups get through to us? What about the second-rate prof? Can we extend him courtesy when he is the guest at the dorm social? What about the pastor back home, or the occasional vicar's supervisor, whose theological views may not seem quite so sophisticated as our own? Can we fellowship with him? What about the maintenance person or secretary on this campus? Is our conduct toward them human? Or does it somehow betray a vestigial belief in the institution of slavery? These are the small dried peas, if you will, which we are to feel through the insulation of our good fortune and high status. This is the real test of our royalty. Respond to these through the power of the gospel, and Jesus rejoices at seeing a real princess and not just any princess. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You can guess the ending. Jesus consummates the marriage. Not because we've met his conditions, of course not, but because he is nearing the completion of his gifts and his goals. Already in eternity, he chose us as his brides. And in time, the fullness of time, he courted and wooed us. Eventually, with his cross, he us wed. He gave us the status, we are his royal brides, and he gives us the power, the noblesse oblige, to live in accord with that status. He hath done all things well. It's his grace from start to finish. Now the marriage feast is ready. We become his brides in the fullest, most ecstatic sense of the word. And, as in the fairy tales, we live happily ever after in heaven, with one difference. This time is no fairy tale. We rise for prayer.